Hello, hello, good morning, everybody.
Hello.
I have everybody
now.
Hello, hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello, hi. Nice to hear you.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. Okay, so I'm going to put you on lecture here, and we'll just go right into our meeting today. Thanks for being here. And this is our third group call, and we'll have another one this afternoon, or my afternoon here. And so let's just be here, take a deep breath, just sit comfortably, just come into this present moment. Take a deep breath. And just slip into your core, be your core. Should be quite easy at this point. And if this is still a little bit of a practice for you, just find that point within in the center of your head, the cave of Brahman, where the pineal gland is. And then just cast your gaze down into the abdominal area, where the Dantien or Hara point is, the navel center. Just find that sweet spot there. And just be aware of both locations at the same time. Extend your attention further down now. So the perineum, down, 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 down into the earth, into the center of the earth. And further, further through the earth into infinity, deep, deep into source. No beginning, no end. And when you breathe out, drop into the space underneath the breath. It's like you're grounding yourself into source itself. Really just becoming conscious that you always are grounded in source. You are source. You're making it more real. Then come back up, travel up, come to the center of your head and go out upwards through the point, the soul star, which is a foot above you. Feel yourself into it for a moment. It always feels really nice there. Yeah. And then go further up, past the clouds, through the clouds, past the clouds, into infinity above you. Deep breath out. And just know yourself to be completely present, extended into infinity, being infinity, being eternity. Just relax into that okayness. Beautiful. Now, let's bring your attention to that place within you, somewhere in the heart area, the psychic center, the heart area, maybe where you have that sense of me. Just you, yeah. Let's for a moment have the sense of me and that reality of eternity itself. We're just going to collapse that for a moment. It will make your mind very open and wide, spacious. Maybe your eyes open, you're very present. Don't expect yourself to go away. There's no time, there's nowhere to go. Just being the self that you are. And just close your eyes if your eyes opened, and just hang in the area of the heart chakra. And just visualize the beautiful golden light there, white golden light, like the sun, bright, bright, bright light. Just enjoy that light for a moment. I would like you to see your face next to this beautiful bright sunlight. Just the face you know from the mirror. Good. And now just slowly let that face inch itself over to the light. And feel it and see it. This is not a hot light. It's just a beautiful light. Incredible well-being. Allow your face to inch into the light and just merge into it. You can hardly notice it. It just disappears. It is eclipsed by the light. It's beautiful and bright. We're in the psychic realm now. We have, in the second module, we're speaking about the psychic dimension. And I would like to bring the psychic dimension into proper context with self-realization. And we had a little bit of some conversations already on the call, on the Facebook group, and that there is a way of going out to look when the ego, that who you are, has a desire to want to know. There is a need, and you move out. Even speaking about it, there's a stress in there. You can see that the field that we're all in is starting to kind of pull a little bit, like chewing gum and distorting a little bit. If you're sensitive, you might feel that, even speaking about that, because there's always effort in it. But if we just drop that, we're just being who we are, and an instant knowing arises, just the way you know where your feet are. You just know you are alive. You know you are here. There's a knowing. There's no looking. You're not looking, where am I? If you're looking, if you're which room you are, yes, you have to use your senses. You open your eyes and you look, because you're touching the sense world, and you need to locate yourself in time and space and say, oh, okay, I'm in the living room. I'm not in the bedroom. But for you to know that you're here, you don't need to look. You just know. So that would be a true psychic operation, just knowing directly. The more aware you become, the more you know, because the whole universe is you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the mind, because on the psychic level, the mind is still there, in the sense of you can be psychic and you can be identified with ego, you can be unawake. There's a lot of psychic people, a lot of healers, not awake, but they're very capable of navigating in the psychic realms. And that's what we're learning in the second module, is how to be safe in it, how to do that. But at the same time, I would like to put the context of the self-realized state, the enlightened state, and psychism. Okay. And as I'm speaking, it is more a transmitting than actually a talking, but at the same time, finding the words that most directly transmit the information. When you're in a very relaxed state, you're really happy and content. There is a sense of no effort. The sense of no effort comes because your mind isn't moving, or rather you, who you are as consciousness, is not solely identified with the mind, and the mind is always moving. So you are moving with the mind. You are trying something, because we spoke about that the mind is always desiring or rejecting. And this beautiful action is what makes things appear, forms, and gives us the physical world. Now, to identify with this particular movement and make that and use that to find yourself is what is called ignorance in spiritual matters. So what we want to find out is, what does it feel like practically, if we don't jump on the bandwagon of the mind? So right now, check for yourself. Is there a contraction within you? Because there is a wanting to know, there's a need of some sort. Just notice for a moment. I want you to check. And if there is any of that, drop it. Just drop it. And I don't really need you to tell you how to drop it. You actually do know. You will not drop it if there's something in it for you to hold on to this particular need. Then you will want, the contraction will continue. Excuse me. So just for a moment, just let it all go. Just be here and know that when you are just you, the core, the self, that everything is here and you don't need to go looking for anything at all. Okay. So when you're in this very effortless state, you will just sometimes know things. But at times, you find like, okay, I need to just, I'm going to mute myself for a second. Just clearing my throat, and I don't want to cough into your ear. So when you are looking psychically, want to know things, then what happens is that your mind is moving, and when your mind moves, it will touch on thoughts, ideas, situations, locations, people. And when you do that, you're actually energetically connecting with that. And when the second module really wants to train you that you pay attention to where your mind rests and where you go looking, because that's the energy that then is drawn into you. And it's a very practical thing, because, and that's very beautiful, because the psychic realm is dark and light. The astral has the heaven and hells. So it is your choice to dwell on the things that are more beautiful and to pull away your thoughts from the areas of the hell. So as you are pulling yourself more into the areas of positive thinking and dwell in that, you become that. Just do that for a moment. Bring your attention to something very luminous, very elevated. Good, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So now there will be the subconscious and the unconscious patterns that draw you kind of back. Or rather said, they just appear and arise. And suddenly you have feelings that are just not very nice. This happens all the time, especially today, this weekend with the full moon and Pluto and Saturn and Mars and all these things are going on in a certain constellation that basically just explodes and clears and challenges and breaks open. Suddenly stuff is just being bubbling up from deep within and you're noticing all these feelings and thoughts. Well, if you are aware of that nothingness, that emptiness, the stillness point of the mind, and you are aware as yourself as awareness, and then you are noticing, oh, there are also these feelings, and you can be really, really completely identified and be in it. You're also, at the same time, the one that's aware. And if you don't flow with these feelings, you just let them be, then there's nothing bad happening. It's not like you're causing the feelings to become bigger or stronger. You're just sort of having a cleanse, you could say. Now, we could keep talking about this over and over again because this is the part that trips people up over and over again. That's the hardest because everything feels so real and so human, and the mind will come in and say, but I'm experiencing this and what do I do with it? The key is not to do anything. It's just happening. You see, when we want to do something with it, there's this concept, the identity, it says this should be different. And that's the awareness, that's the realizing that you are who you are, and then whatever happens doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And the mind will come in and say, oh yeah, it does matter. And then you can choose to trust it or not. My suggestion is to not ever trust your mind. To only trust you, trust truth. Let's speak about how the mind is actually caused. So this understanding goes a little deeper. Just think of I'll create an image here. Just think of something that just exists, and it's like a darkness. There's an absence, and in this absence, this nothingness moves, and brilliant light is being created, an explosion of light. I call it the grace light. And this grace light then has the ability to be intelligent. It contains intelligence because the nothingness, that which didn't move originally, that which is still contained in the grace light because the nothingness moved. So the nothingness is still in the light. That is also pure intelligence, pure potential. We call it the source. Now that intelligence can manifest itself as the great intelligence, that great field of intelligence. And a great field of intelligence then can basically manifest into many, many points of intelligence. And this intelligence then, this light that now has focused itself into intelligence, will then begin to project itself outward into, because there's a desire and a longing to continue. There's movement started, and when movement happens, time and space is created, and then there is a something that needs to happen in that time and space. So that original point, that original source, is now setting itself up for dialogue with itself, because time and space are created and movement from here and there. There is this and that. And so what happens is that there are potential expressions that come into being, the tattvas, that then begin to express themselves as the elements. And but before the elements are created, there needs to be functions or senses and organs that basically are communicating with each other and make some kind of dialogue possible. So the mind, essentially, the great mind, basically projects itself out. Think of your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue, and your hands, which is touch, breathing, hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, tasting. They need to taste something, you need to touch something, you need to see something. So we need to project something out. So the eyes project out an organ of the feet. The feet are connected to the eyes because we need to go, we need to see where we're going. We're looking forward into the future, for example. And then the feet need to be basically also, you know, walking on something. So the whole world basically comes into existence through mind projecting itself outward to the movement. So basically everything that you see around you right now when you look into your room is basically your own creation, because you need something to be, to experience, because you are an experiencer, you are a perceiver, and you need to perceive something. And the problem now that arises, and this is the key to everything, I'm just going to say this two times or three times, is that what you projected out, you have forgotten that you are that as well. It is your extension. If you are the perceiver that extends itself into the senses, into the body, which is needed for the senses, and then the further the forms around you so you can interact with it and have joy and pain with it. Because duality gives you both. It gives you pleasure and pain. It gives you dark and light. And that would all be beautiful if there wasn't one problem. And the problem is that we suddenly decided that the outside is separate from us, that it has nothing to do with us, and that it is happening to us. We've become a victim to the outside. Can you see the confusion? This is really, really important to understand that the outside isn't happening to you. Your body isn't happening to you. It is not doing something to you. We are not a victim or a tyrant. We have just forgotten that we've split ourselves. We have forgotten that we are the original perceiver, the self that projected all this out, because we began to move. Out of stillness of existence that we are, we began to move. And we exploded light and colors and vibrations and made all this happen. Now, how is that useful for a normal human being, you think, and for my regular life? It is very, very useful. When there's no confusion and you know that everything around you is you, you've projected this, you've manifested it, not because you're a great manifester or a poor manifester, that's a judgment as well, but it simply is that you are only invited at very first, the very most important thing, you're invited to set yourself straight again and know that everything is you. And you are the self. And all you have to do is to be still again. And stillness means is stop confusing the desires of the mind with yourself. Stop thinking that when you follow the desires of the mind for continuous movement, because you're starting to seek yourself. You see, there is a mechanism built in that you begin to seek yourself now. Who am I? Where am I? Who am I? So we look for partners, we look for jobs, we look for the true expressions in our lives and all these things to find ourselves. But which one is the true? Is it that particular great job that you have, or even the other dream job you have, or the dream house? Is that going to tell you who you are? Of course not, because it's not, it's still looking outward. So the only way to actually interrupt this process of looking and seeking is to stop seeking, not to be dazzled by the glamour of the astral. May it be the densest or the brightest, but never be dazzled. The whole world functions on it. There's traps everywhere. And as the ancient sages always say, in different ways and the different traditions, is just know yourself, and you can only know yourself when you're still. And still doesn't mean that you don't move and talk and do things. It doesn't mean the mind isn't going to do its functions, but you are not jumping on the bandwagon and trusting what goes on in the mind. So this is very important too, and we will revisit this again at different modules, because as you just do your practice, that's all you do. So you don't try to twist yourself too difficult in your mind to understand all this. This is all contained in the transmission. I'm offering this. I'm connecting with you. I know that you are my own self as we are just speaking. This is also true for me. It's like we're speaking to ourselves. Is to bring that understanding and transmitting it, you could say, although that's all not really true either, but on this astral level it is true. We're kind of transmitting. And so as you do your spiritual practices, you're processing your shadow, you're clearing your ego, you're breaking it up, you're making it pliable and fluid, then it is easier for you to not be so pulled and dragged by this mechanism, the addiction of the desire and repulsion. It's so deep, the addiction, that it's very difficult to sometimes notice that you're actually caught. And there's such a need to protect and to defend your identity. This is very strong. Like, we cannot be fully open because there's too much fear. The identification with death is so strong. Because, again, why does death exist? Because you've forgotten that the forms around you and the other people, which are also the forms around you, that they're actually a projection of your own perception. So as we go into the deeper, more advanced levels, we'll be talking more and more about you being a perceiver, which is what you truly are. And as we bring more light and more spaciousness, we will perceive the snake in the corner, that ugly, horrible, scary snake in the corner of the dark room. We bring more light to it and we'll see it's not a monster, it's not a snake, it's not scary. It was just a rope. Everything you perceive right now is a misperception. So if you have pain in your body right now or other problems in your life, it's just what you perceive. And I was sharing on Facebook, we just had the kitchen tiled and it was like all dusty all over. And oh, by the way, my cat came back this morning like nothing ever happened. That was so funny. And then the other things happened. I have to get an electrician today, and it is all these crazy things that are going on, of course. Nothing new in my life, that there's occasional astrological things that we share. We have sharing sort of, the same astrology on the planet the Earth has. And at times, everything can just go way higher. And because I went through a very crazy stage in 2002 or 2003, like a long time ago, I remember just to laugh at it. I'm like, okay, it's like, can there be more of this? And it's just starting to be funny, because we really have no preference. We come to a place where there's no preference. If it's all kind of funny and crazy, there is no need to fix it. You see, you go away from this like it has to be all feeling a certain way. You don't even care if it doesn't feel that good. You don't care. You don't have to fix it, because it has nothing to do with who you are. And that's freedom. And that's what this course is about. You will slowly and slowly basically being guided towards that it doesn't really truly matter. It doesn't truly matter what happened. These are all shadows in the mind that are not who you are. And in the meantime, though, as you are, because this is very difficult, you know, I remember having incredible aversions to certain things my teachers would say. It's like, oh, no, but, you know. At the same time, this is why I know it helps to explore the psychic realm a little bit and enjoy it, because there's such luminosity there. But at the same time, you have to be also disciplined to not have your mind wander all over the place. And absorb energy. So then let's say the next day you have pain in the body, or 3 weeks later or a month later, suddenly you get a flu, or, you know, or you have a really grumpy day or something else happens. Why? Because you don't know, because you were undisciplined with your mind. You just, the doors were open, the windows were open of your psychic house, and suddenly, you know, got infested by bugs, you know. So we want to basically be disciplined, not in fear, but at the same time have, you know, the way you just go about your house and in your own physical hygiene, you just kind of go in that direction of cleaning up your life more and more. Good. So that was in terms of the psychic and the who you really are. The shadow processing, and I'm really happy to see you guys are doing a great job and you're noticing that how quickly you can shift yourself out of something. Just a reminder for the context of this course is that any issue you have, notice when you are suddenly in the victim and you're seeking help because you are needing emotional support. I want you can do this, but at the same time, you can share what your experiences are, but try to first go to the understanding that this is an experience, and this experience can be shifted. You can bring more light to it by collapsing it. You are caught in a structure making it real, and you collapse it. And don't put a limit to it, like only this and this can be done, but this I've had so long and that doesn't work. And notice when you get very frustrated or you're getting like so, when there's despair, this weekend, you know, all kinds of emotions can come up. Just notice that and it's like, that's okay. Oh, wow, there's despair. There's like fear. There's like craziness. I don't know, whatever it can be. And then you got food for a triangle or something. Just have fun with it and just notice how quickly you can shift it. And even if it doesn't shift right away, do it again, come from another angle. You just know, wow, there's a great nugget here. It's not shifting that easily. So I can kind of bite myself a little deeper into it and just crack open that treasure of space and light that's contained in it and transform it. You got, in that moment, your aura bang just expands and you're just even more free. You take a deeper breath and like, oh, wow, I feel so much better suddenly. That was huge. What happened there? I don't even know. Doesn't even matter. So there's nothing too big. There's nothing. Everything is perception, and you, all we're doing is we're changing our perception. Okay? Okay. Good. So let's see what else comes up during the conversations as we're going through the callers here. I have one hand raised, and I'm just going to take that first caller, so I'm ready to take your questions. 497. Can you speak? 4971? Hello? Can you hear me? Hi.
Hello, Fatima.
Yeah, who's that? Hi there. Who's that? Ursula. Oh, hi there. Good. Okay.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Nice. Okay. So, good. So tell me where you're at and how can we get you even in a more happier, freer place?
So I'm completely amazed because everything you said applies.
Yes.
But what I also would like to say is, you know, what you said in, you know, right now and also in one or two of the MP3s of Module 2, it so confirms what I have started to notice, let's say, perhaps since some months, that really what I think of, that I sort of get a bit of that energy, and that I also notice some things just are not good, and then I shift my attention. I don't pretend that I always am that aware, but I really love that you confirmed that.
Oh, beautiful!
Because I
yeah.
told somebody about it, and they sort of like, ah, what I want to think and feel what I like to. I thought, well, of course you can do that, but.
Yeah.
It's not always good for you.
yeah.
But I didn't go into the discussion. So that was really great to hear you say that.
Yeah, that's good.
And what came up this weekend, but you more or less probably gave the answers already, but my mother is 85, and we had a family visit. And I realized they sort of came because they thought my mother will not live much longer. Well, of course, 85 is quite an age. You know, it brought stuff up, of course. And I have already done triangles on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also thought was, well, what about group consciousness? But then you brought up that other people are just a projection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, yes, I heard that. You said that before.
Yeah. I like it or not.
Hiding.
Okay.
So I just thought, well, is there anything in addition to the tools we do have? Do I just write a story, or perhaps write a story from the perspective of these people? Or
good question. Yeah, you know what? I keep it as simple as possible because you don't need very many tools. It's like it's that simple. You see, because you're already who you are. Like everybody's already who they are. So it's really a game we're playing out of this hall of mirrors to actually realize that again. So the more, because we're in a hall of mirrors, the more tools we have and the more complicated we make, the more distracted. It's like a distractor. It's like, you know, when you have sunglasses and you're not polarized and the sun kind of plays around, you know, it just distracts you, and this is not helpful. So, mm-hmm. you know, as a teacher, I'd like you to make sure I don't confuse you. Just keep it simple. So what you said about, can I write a story? The story is part of the squares and triangles of stories. You can write, let's say, a paragraph, and let's say there's a whole convoluted thing or you have some thoughts in your head. Write it down, and then you underline and define the opposites, and you pull yourself mm-hmm. out of this projection. You can do that. You can also, yes, absolutely, you can also, because sometimes psychically we experience or we project ourselves into somebody else, and we can actually write the story from that projection. So you can write it for somebody else. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's say you're experiencing your mother, you know, having these experiences. Because you're experiencing it as well, you can write it from your angle or you can write it from her angle. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that what you asked?
Yes. I thought more about doing it from the people's perspective, who think, well, when you're a certain age, you have to die. When you're a certain age, you have to have this or that.
Or the collective, yes, absolutely, yes.
They mm-hmm. say so often that, of course, well, you know, this person has this, well, of course, but what do you want? They have this age, and I think, well, age is not an illness.
Yeah,
But it must be there, because otherwise they wouldn't be there telling this.
No. That's right. Yeah. And you see, you only process things that give you a charge. I mm-hmm. mean, there's everything around you. I mean, I'm looking out the window and there's other houses and trees and they're just there, and there's emptiness connect. There's a space there. They don't do anything to me. But let's say if you look out the window, you see people and there's a resonance there and there's something happening, then you're caught in a projection with that. And yes, you can clear that.
I started worrying about my mother and also about a younger person sort of taking up this information, this misinformation.
Mm.
The rescuer in me sort of...
That's your identity, right? So just notice right now, let's go a little deeper, like very right now and right here, very Yana. It's like notice... Refrain from moving into the identification as being the rescuer. Just stop that for a moment. Just be here. So, just what is happening now when you don't become the rescuer? Is that okay?
I feel a bit guilty.
Okay, guilty is. Are you guilt, or is this a feeling?
I think it's a habit.
Okay, sure. But is it your habit or is it somebody else's habit? Whose habit is it?
The persona's habit. It's sort of something that what the brain is used to do, it continues doing. You know, a little bit, yeah.
Knowing this and being able to explain that, how does that nourish you?
Well, it creates a certain distance to the sort of thing.
It creates a distance. Okay. That's right. It creates a distance, and at the same time, we're still in time and space. And when there's distance, there can be nearness again. So there'll be another problem born from this. So what you're using is helpful for this little moment. And psychically, you are being elevated and helped. But in terms of being totally free, you are not. You are not freeing yourself with it. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Good. So what for a moment, there you go, there now he's shifting. That's it. Beautiful. Can you feel this? What happened there?
What, right now?
Yeah. Something different?
I'm more present.
You're more present. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm just on my feet and
yeah. You see, yeah. There is nobody guilty here, right? Is there?
No.
Right? So why, yeah, good. So it's not even necessary, isn't it? That's simple. Beautiful. Thanks, Ursula.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
Bye.
There you go. Simplicity of being. Linda is on the phone. Hi there. Hello?
Hi. Linda Carter?
Hi. Yes, yes, that's right.
Perfect. We were chatting, Arathima, about all of the chaos, I guess, around the Trump business and the fact that I wasn't feeling I was reacting to it, not being triggered, and we were going to play with that feeling of being in a different reality.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, well, yes. That was a few days ago. Let's see what happens right now. Yeah, so you okay, so basically I think I wanted to take that deeper. So how is it right now, like in terms of this whole thing? Yeah.
Feel nothing.
Feel nothing. Good. And you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is there in terms of you, is there any pain, is there any suffering there?
Possibly at a very deep unconscious level that I'm not conscious of. I'm just surprised I'm not being triggered by all of this.
Okay, yeah, that's good, but you know, this is good. You're not supposed to get triggered. I mean, when you're free, you're not triggered. But yes, it could be other things that will trigger you in the future. All we're doing is go to a place where we never get triggered. And
right.
So if you're experiencing more and more time where you're not triggered, that is the success of the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And but I can't. You're not. Don't seem very happy. Can you sense it?
Actually, I was really nervous about my voice being heard on this call.
Okay, so there is nervousness. Okay, that's. In the context of what we're speaking about, that is, there's a person there, a persona, right, that has a certain patterning, and yours is being nervous to be heard, and others are nervous or not to be heard, you know? It's just like, you know, we have variations of that. So just become aware of it for a moment, and is that really who you are?
No, it's not.
Yeah, okay. Have your rest just, yeah, exactly. Now you're just being here, just watching. Yeah, like, exactly. So you notice you have a choice to jump on the bandwagon of a pattern or to just be you, which has always been here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is why we really can't make somebody wake up. Everybody is who they are. But we have the tools when the triggers come in, and when things are really, really painful, and even we just almost like I said once to my teacher, why don't I just just keep quiet and just be still. Why do I actually do any processing? And she said to me, well, look, you can do that. If you can sit in samadhi all day and you don't have to, you know, because I had a little kid at the time, and you don't have to move your body and engage in the world, then, yeah, you just sit in samadhi and then you just be burn it all off and you're good. But when we move around and we activate the body and the senses and it's constantly engaging, it causes all this movement, and that is really hard to sort oneself out. And then we use the, you know, the tools to actually kind of collapse it, to just not just shave off one layer of the onion, but just kind of take all the layers off and bang, there's nothing in the middle. There's empty in the center of the onion is empty, right? And then you have more space to kind of go about your day.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Yeah. So right now in this present moment, just being here, being conscious of who you are, and however that expresses itself is just fine. Just watch if there is some looking, because I can sense a little bit of looking. Can you notice that?
I can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That looking, and it's beautiful you're doing this for everybody to watch, it's the seeking. It's you identified with the mind. You're not free. You're experiencing an okayness in the mind, but you are identified with the mind. You're not free from it. And the mind will sooner or later be attracted to something, and you're going to be pulled in that direction, or it will be repulsed by something.
Mm-hmm.
So watch this. I want you to actually even notice when that suddenly pops up.
It did, and it was interesting because my feet started moving as you talked about the mind.
Okay, yeah.
Heart center and everything just stopped. It was interesting.
Okay.
But I realized when I was going to raise my hand, I almost didn't. But oh my gosh, here's the real issue. So funny.
Yeah, you can do a little square on that or a story. And but I personally always like to have people go when they actually really just are even beyond that need.
Mm-hmm.
So right now in this moment, I remind you of a choice to completely stop looking, to be completely quiet and still, and not climb into the mind. You as consciousness, don't climb into the mind. Be prior to everything.
Yeah, that empty space is wonderful.
Mm. Okay, well, let's leave it at that. Beautiful. Okay, thanks, Linda. Okay. Okay, I'll let you go. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Linda turned into emptiness. Okay, Cindy, hi there. How is your back and hips today?
Yeah, they're a little bit sore, that's for sure. But, yeah, what can I say?
Mm-hmm.
I actually want you to talk a little bit about the shadow work.
Yes.
You know, okay, there's two things that have come up for me. Okay, one is that I'm writing really long stories, not just paragraphs. So I don't know if I'm now overdoing it. Now
No, if you have the time for it, that's fine. You know, that's not a problem. If you have the time for it and it all comes out like that, that's okay.
Okay. And then I'm also focusing a lot on the health issues, you know, so that kind of comes up in the stories all the time.
Yes.
You know, kind of unraveling certain aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what came up is, you know, where you go to the desire to have. And I really experienced such contraction around, like, desire to have cancer, for example. It just doesn't make any sense.
What do you desire to have? What? I missed the word.
A desire to have cancer.
Yes. I know it doesn't make any sense, but you see, you know, beautiful, you're looking at it very squarely. Just remember, who you are is free. Who you are doesn't have anything. It doesn't have cancer, nor does it have not cancer. You see, is that when things manifest in life, then the desire was there. Otherwise, it cannot manifest. You see, it cannot manifest if it's not there. Or you have a repulsion to it, it's the same thing, just the opposite of the coin, then it also can manifest. Do you see? So it is weird, but you're learning by doing this over and over again, these stories, and then finding the polarities. What happens, it's not just about being so in the story and doing the processing. As you're doing this, you will train yourself also to really notice that everything you experience is, you're outside of all the experiences. You're God. You're the ever-present, watchful eye, the awareness itself that is watching these dynamics, like a figure eight, things coming into existence, desiring, and then going away. And there is no difference between cancer and a cup of coffee. In reality, from the place of source, when originally when the light moved out and began to manifest in all the different myriad forms, they still constantly move and are all in flux. There is no difference between a cup of coffee and cancer or whatever, or a pencil and a foot. Do you see? It's just particles of light. And this is essentially the work that you're doing when you do the shadow work. You'll get to this, something start clicking and clicking and clicking, and you become very free, and you will enter a sense of who you are very slowly or more faster. It depends really on your karmas that will then... You understand what I'm saying, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
In one of the things that I wrote, I said, you know, I can't remember in which quadrant it was, that I created this. And that brought up such a huge thing for me. Mm-hmm. Now, would that be something to write more about?
Yes. When you find something that has a huge charge and you really feel something there, you write more about it, because there is a nugget of freedom in there that is just ripe, you know, because there's so much charge around it.
Okay.
Yes, you work with it. Okay. You always, like, I'm like, always, I would always find something, you know. Actually, you know, Leslie said, right, she says, what did she say? It's so great to really make a real asshole out of yourself, or something like that, she put it, because we were looking, you know, like finding the worst things about ourselves, and it's like, oh wow, there's another stuff, you know. And because you're realizing you are not these things, finally you can get rid of them, right? You transmute them, you recycle them, you know, like the way you recycle your garbage, you know, in real life too.
Yeah. Okay.
No charge. Yeah, no, there is no cancer. It's a concept. It's what the ignorant identity has labeled as good or bad, and that causes suffering.
Yeah.
It causes it causes us to be locked into a human form in a way that gives us a lot of pain. Okay.
I do that, see that.
You, yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're doing great. Okay, that's it? Something else? You're good, eh?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Cindy. Okay. Okay, I have I think this was Louise, right, in Michigan? 586?
Yes,
yes. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Rajima. These calls are so, so helpful.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. It's so amazing how the modules stir things up, and there's all this confusion comes up. So, you know, for everybody to know, this is on purpose. So, of course, you know, I present things, and then suddenly all the stuff happens. And then in the calls, we're going to sort things out, and then we're going to keep building, right? And you're going to be clearer and clearer about the processes.
It's so beautiful. So I have, I think it's kind of a two-part question. So I would like to explore, after I just asked this first part, a little bit more about meditation, because there was a lot of very helpful information. I didn't have a chance to read through everything on Facebook, but just a little, the progression and what's happening would, I think, be really helpful to me, perhaps others as well. Mm-hmm. And I had an interesting experience that just started yesterday morning as I was sitting and meditating, and I was, you know, gazing at the heart chakra, the six-pointed star, and I started to get this significant pain like in my neck and down my shoulder, and it's so odd because then during the day I kind of released it, and then when I went to meditate again this morning it came back in full force, and then it kind of releases again. So I was just wondering if there is something I can do either before or after meditation to help whatever that is that's happening.
Well, when you meditate, things are moving and shifting inside of you, right? You know that. So
yeah.
You will experience thoughts moving, feelings moving, and sensation moving. And sensations have variations from 0 to 10. They can be pleasant to very, very unpleasant. All of that is movement. Now, when you ask the question, what is very important before we do anything, before we... I don't know, some of my calls, I know we were on it, I talked about the wine gummy approach. Do you remember that? Were you on that call?
No, I was not.
No. It was a long time ago when I was training Jason, and he had a desire to, we were walking at night, and we were just passing by a gas station, and he says, I got to go in there and get some wine gummies. And I said, why? I could sense there was a need. And I said, you're not getting any wine gummies, you're going to stop right now. I said, first we need to address the need and the desire. You have to wake up out of it first. So, mm-hmm. and he shifted, and then I said, no, you can eat any wine gummies you want. I don't care. He still had his wine gummies, but there was no addiction, because right now you're addicted to not having pain in the body, you see?
Yes, I can feel it. Mm-hmm.
Right. You have to first free yourself from that addiction, because the true thing is, a healer or a teacher that gives you a solution to your pain binds you and creates bondage for you, because you will have, it brings another problem. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I will not free you by helping you out of this pain. I have, the only thing truly that frees you is to first, because you're a perceiver and you identify with this body, to first disconnect that, and then we can do all kinds of things to make your pain better, and it doesn't really matter at that point. Usually that's the psychic realm that then knows, that just knows. That's really the function of the psychic, that then beautifully knows what is the best thing for you in that moment, because that's the loving mother that basically says, okay, the best thing would be right now this and this. And but first you have to know who you are, in essence. So right now as we're speaking, there's a shift happening. Do you notice the change?
Yes, I was intentionally trying to moving my attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you notice the need? Just noticing the need. That's the hook. That's where you get caught in the mind, right? Just the need. This is why we practice this. Did you notice it? Now you stopped. You pulled away and don't go into the need. Did you do that?
Yes, I felt a little bit of a nudge kind of pulling me in that direction again, but...
Good, and there's a thought. You see the nudge? That's actually a thought. That's a thought. It's an unconscious thought, that, because the identity is made out of thoughts. And what we're doing, we're dismantling identity. So there's a thought that probably says, you know, just, you probably know better, that just basically is scared. There's a fear usually. That is that, what does this mean? Where is this, what is going to happen if this gets worse? I'm helpless. Which one is it for you?
For me, I was first just noticing because actually the pain in my neck had disappeared. And that, so I was, the thought was just checking for it. And so I think, yeah, I think though the bottom line of what you were just asking is the fear that this is going to keep continuing, and it's stopping my progress with meditation.
You're laughing at it, right?
Yes.
See, there's no chance, right? I mean, you can see the trick. I mean, the Christian tradition calls it the devil, right? It's just this illusion, mm-hmm. that just keeps us constantly like, oh my God, just watch out. This is going to happen to you. Okay, good. It's beautiful. You see, this life, the human body is born, and this physical form, is born and it will be returned back to the earth. That's just a fact, right? We can walk around and just tell ourselves, oh, no, we're just going to stay young and beautiful forever. That's good. But the truth is that it's just not going to happen, you know, and you wouldn't even want to live forever if this physical body is too much work. But we don't want to suffer. We want to enjoy it. We want to enjoy it, and we want to make it not run it down too early, but through our ignorance, for sure. We want to really utilize it with most graciousness and luminosity as possible. But we don't want to suffer. So you are free already, and that's just something you need to know. And if you don't even experience it, just the memory of it, or just the knowing that. All of this is really not important, and you don't have to do anything about it. When that comes in and clicks in, then and you're free and you laugh, or you just kind of suddenly shift, then you do whatever you need to do. Is the pain still there right now? There's none of it, right?
No, I'm not. Just a little bit of tightness, but no pain. Mm-mm.
Yeah. And, you know, now you can basically do a square on it or something, or just tightness, ease or looseness, just offer it up, and you know, there you go. He's barking. Good. Maybe he's pulling at you. That's what he's like. Like, I want to go for a walk. Just stop the calls here. Okay, Louise, I'll move on. Thanks for talking. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, I have Kasri. Hi, Kasri. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How are you?
Hi, Haratima. Oh, yeah, it's been a while. I'm good. I know I had a question, but I've just been so involved in listening that I forget.
That's good. That's good. So you were just really present with everything. So good. So if it's like, just notice what arises in this moment, just be, this is what we do all the time in life. We're just always, you know, checking like, okay, what is arising here? Is nothing good. I'm just enjoying my life. Or, oh, there's something arising right now, some need or something. So maybe a question, and we want to honor that as well. So is there something coming or maybe not?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to re-listen, of course, as I do to all the calls. There was so much that was so intriguing that I didn't catch at all when you were doing satsang at the beginning around, you said, don't be a victim. I go, okay, that's a trigger for me because I know I do that. So I have to be aware of that. And then something about addiction. I consider myself, well, I guess we're all addicted.
Everybody's addicted to thinking, and everybody's an addict. Everybody's addicted because the desire repulsion thing is driving everybody. And so, yeah, everybody's addicted. And then for some people, that addiction is more visible. It is not so much in the thoughts. Maybe some others are addicted to certain feelings. And essentially, everybody's doing things to feel a certain way. And then others, that has densified and expresses more through the body. And there's addiction through particular behavior constantly. But it's all just the same thing, really.
Oh, that brought up emotion. Why is that?
Why is that emotional for you?
Because I've been identified with being, having this addictive personality that stops me from fully living my life, from getting things done, from making progress in life. And I blame it on this addictive personality because I came in with...
Where is it? Show me right now. Where is the addictive personality? Where is it?
Where is it? Like, how's it manifesting in my life? Or right now in this moment?
Yeah, where is it right now? If it's, where is it? Is it at home right now in the living room? Or where is it?
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, that's the funniest thing ever.
Why you were making it like so important? Like, I just want to get to know that person. I'm sure everybody wants to. Yeah, really, you got to really help that person because so poor addicted person.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Where were we?
And we were having a problem. I don't know where it was. Tell me the problem.
Okay, so I guess my answer is it can just go away. It doesn't have a problem. Oh my gosh. I can fix everything now, or there's nothing to fix.
Yeah, there's nothing to fix. Is there? I mean, really, I'm not joking. It's like, where is this addictive personality? Where is it? Can you find it?
No.
See, it's just made up, right? So, yeah, it's the same thing. You just have an addiction to thinking about it, or it's, we call it the pattern. And your job is only to recognize that you kind of have that pattern. But that pattern, usually the need to look, serves something in you. And my suggestion is, initially we kind of look at, like, why does it serve me? You know, why? Because then I can feel miserable, or I can find myself because I don't know what else I am, because of uncomfortable being nothingness, just pure awareness, like there's nothing in it for the ego, right? So it's uncomfortable. Then suddenly I'm just here, and there's no purpose, and nobody's going to answer me why I get up in the morning. So this is not easy for a very dense, for the configuration of the ego. But your job is to not feed that and catch it and keep dismantling the ego so that it doesn't bug you this much anymore, you know? Mm. Is this making sense?
Yes.
And?
And it just means I have to do the work that I'm not doing. There was just that thought that came up, like I'm not doing the dismantling of the ego. I'm not doing that.
Okay. And so just too boring, like why not? No time, what does it do? It's better.
Because I'm too busy being distracted with all of this stuff that I'm going around in circles, not getting anything done. Wasting time.
Just own it for a moment that you are distracting yourself. You're the one who's doing it. You're not the victim. You're distracting yourself. And this feels good, right? Being distracting yourself. Because if you don't distract yourself, you might notice something. Might notice that there's pain. You might notice that there's loneliness. Or you might notice that you just don't know certain things in life and you think you have to know. And you think you have to be this and you have to be that, and all these voices that get sort of put into you. And I'm telling you, don't listen. Don't listen. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You can feel anything and everything, and you are the source of all your feelings. And they change, and sometimes they're stronger and sometimes less, and it's all good and it's all beautiful. It's just there's, the world will always tell you something else, but the world is not light. It's not, there's, so it doesn't really matter. Think of the sun for a moment right now. Just think of the sun. Okay, how are you feeling now? What comes up?
I'm very relaxed, and I'm laying in the sun, so I'm feeling the sun.
Okay, good. So just relax, and it's okay now. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Any other questions or thoughts?
Nope. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. Nice catching. Okay, bye. Okay, there's no more questions. Anybody else wants to raise their hand? Okay, so I'm just going to... Good. All right. So let's come together for... Oh, there's two more questions then. Okay, or three. Good. We'll just take Wynonna. Hi there, Wynonna. Hi.
Hey there. How are you today?
I'm good. Yes, I'm good. Thanks.
I didn't really have a question until that last call, and I just wanted to follow up just a little bit. You said something that really triggered something in me, and that was what gets me up in the morning. And that's what I've been having trouble with, getting up in the morning, the distraction thing that I can distract myself all day and get nothing accomplished. Mm-hmm. And then I'm still, you know, I'm doing the meditation in the morning and the breathing, listening through the day and doing some of the other practices, like doing the shadow work off and on.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get up in the morning. I have such, and I need to be because I'm living on a credit line and, you know, I'm not working right now and I'm wanting to create what I want to work at and I'm trying to honor it. But all this is going on, so it keeps me in bed, is what I'm saying, until 9 or 10 in the morning, at least.
And, okay.
Did you do
some processes on it? Did you make a square on it?
Not on this, because this was new. It was when you said it, and you were saying that density has a hard time with this, right? Is that addictive, like part of the addictive, like I'm confused a little, like, you know, the words came in so fast. I guess maybe if I listened, but the addiction, you know, the patterns, the density that's there that keeps me from wanting to get up.
Well, the thing is that, let me ask you this. When you're lying in bed till 9:30 mm-hmm. and you're having a good time and you're at peace, then what's the problem with it?
Yeah, I'm not always at peace, so I'll wake up about 5 or 6 times thinking I should get up and at least feed the animals.
Okay, well, is this just a thought that says I should get up? Is it just a pattern, but you're actually just noticing a thought moving through your head, but, you know, like you don't have to follow it?
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, because the sense I get is that you are, it's just the regular programming that we should be doing certain things a certain way. But the fact is that if you are, the fact is that you're meditating and that you're doing shadow processing, all this tells me that you're showing up and doing the work. And, mm-hmm. And at this time anyway, you know, sleeping a little bit longer or, you know, it's a different season anyway. So, it's the full moon too. I mean, you know, if you're doing it all the time, it doesn't really matter. It's up to you. If you're at peace with it, if you know in your truth, in your true heart, you know that I must get up because this needs to be done and you're avoiding it, then you have mm-hmm. a pattern there mm-hmm. that you need to clear. You need to see that, yes. And it's about the avoidance or the attraction. It doesn't even matter what you do. You see, the expressions of what you do not matter. They matter later. When you're awake, then things matter. Right now, nothing matters. The only thing that matters is for you to notice that you are caught in the mind or you're free. It's the only practice you have. There's nothing else to do. It's that simple.
Okay.
Makes
like
it
that.
Easy, right?
Yeah, I like that, actually. Because it's definitely caught in the mind, right? Like the, because of all the shoulds and I better get busy and
yeah.
Income and I better do this and I better do that. Yeah, there's a lot of shoulds going on.
Yeah, that's the hall of mirrors. There's a lot of different things. If you're in a different culture, in a different country, then there's different shoulds. And I mean, if you want, you can serve them all. I don't care.
I think that's where my exhaustion's coming from, because I am exhausted, right? So I get so tired because, yeah, maybe that's it. I'm trying to serve it all.
Yeah, of course. That's how we run ourselves down and die and get all sick. No, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. You have to do nothing.
Oh, so I can just be free.
Yes. Yes, I give you full permission to be free. Everybody can be free on the call right now.
Okay,
right.
I like them. I'm
going to
play
right.
With that.
Yes, okay. Awesome. Okay, bye. 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 Okay, we have 4420. I think it's a web link. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi there. Who's that?
Hi, this is Anya.
Anya, hi, nice to meet you. Okay, this is your first call now, right? How is it going?
Oh my God, it's so helpful, the phone, the web, you know, the webcast. Oh, I love them. Thank you so much.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
You want to ask a question? Just share where you're at right now?
Yes, I would like to ask the question about what you said about the mind, like we have that you said we have to be aware what we are thinking about or where we go with our minds, because we might be open to certain energies, negative energies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said early on today?
Yes. Let me just make it so that it's not so scary. You know, and it's, I think in Buddhism...
Yeah, because I was just... Yeah. Sorry, may I just say that?
Okay.
Okay, go on.
In Buddhism, they call it, I think, mindfulness. I'm not a Buddhist, so, but I think that's what they do, being mindful. It means is that just kind of make sure you don't let your mind go rampant with a lot of negativity or dwell your mind, your thoughts or your attention dwelling on negative things, and just gently pull it towards something that's more positive. Or if you are already through the meditation experiencing a lot of spaciousness, then gently pull it back into the spaciousness. The best thing would be to pull it back into the spaciousness. If that doesn't work, and your mind doesn't have that amount of stillness yet, or you, in other words, don't have that amount of stillness, then you just pull it towards something positive. A coach would call it some reframing, you know, just, you know, kind of looking at it from a different angle so that you actually feel better. And then don't dwell, put your attention on people in general. Don't even think about people. Think about maybe nature. Think about masters, angels. Think about maybe virtues, you know, like faith or love. Dwell on, or if you have flowers in your house, I mean, that's the reason why we actually want to have a nice home and have flowers in the vase and all this, or have a candle on, to bring our attention to these high elevated places. Because when you put your attention to other people, you're psychically connecting, and you if your vibration is higher, you drain your energy over to that person. That's good for them, but you also are contaminating yourself constantly, which is not helpful when you really want to wake up, because there's already so much karma inside you. You want to make yourself not heavier, right? Does this help you?
Yes, yes. You know, I went through a period of time where I was like really interested in all these conspiracy theories about how we are on dark forces and stuff. And then I realized that it made my experience of life very heavy and dark, and I had a lot of dark thoughts and everything. And as you said, what you said, it made me understand that probably that's why I was feeling so bad, because I was picking up all those energies.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
When you, there will be a time later, you know, where you are going to, where we don't hide in a cave, because right now you are having some kind of cave time where you basically are buffering yourself from a lot of negativity so that you can just take care of your own stuff, clear it, and really meditate and find the stillness and become strong in your own light. And usually after, you know, the best thing would be after full awakening, where you basically then come back into the world and you are able to meet everything that happens. You know, I start watching the news again and everything, because then you become
stronger.
You actually begin to influence things, you know, but initially you don't want to do that. But that doesn't mean that I hang out in those areas all the time. It's I pace myself, you know, how much I carry. Like right now I carry all the students of the course and all my healing clients. So that's enough. So I don't constantly watch the news, you know, but
yes.
I still know what goes on. Yeah.
You know enough. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And the other question I have,
yes.
Are you saying that we come here to this world and we've planned our lives? Everything is planned. Everything is, we are watching things like in cinema. Our life is unfolding as if everything is planned.
That's a good question. This is a very advanced question, and I have to answer in two ways, okay? Is that essentially, yes, essentially nothing happens and it's all a movie. That is the ultimate truth. You are only a perceiver. You're like a big eye, you could say. But also, at the same time, there's also the manifested world. The light moved and densified into different densities, you know, down to the material. And the one that is you that is in density is also really doing something. So there's also a part on a psychic level where we are co-creating, but that co-creation is part of the bigger dream. So it is true and it is not true. And this is why it can never be really understood fully or talked about, because both are real. It's when we say one or the other, that's where the problem is. That is what is not true. But the truth is that you are, that this is all a movie, and that this and this is all real. Both are true. You see, it's hard to understand. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. So our free will. So where the free will is in the in our choice, how we perceive what is happening to us.
That's right. That's the only free will you have. Correct, Anya. Exactly. You don't have any other free will. And there's no other free will. The only free will is to be, I call it to be in the core or not in the core. And what I said to Louise, it's that simple. There's nothing else. And then after you will begin to experience things in a way that is like a coin with two sides. You are acting in the world, you're not acting in the world, and both are real and not real. It's confusing.
I know.
So, yeah, for you guys, everything is, the only choice you have is to be in your core, to be free or not. And that's the free will you have. So you have a choice to suffer or to be free. There's nothing else to do. Like Vainona, she can lie in bed until midnight, 24 hours, nobody cares. The only choice she has for herself to suffer with this or to be free and fully enjoy it. At some point she'll get bored.
So really, all the manifestation.
Yes.
So really, us thinking that we can have any influence over our life
is a joke.
Manifesting. it's really not true, because everything is designed already, right?
That's right. That's right. Only inside the dream, in the unawakened people, that is real to them. They can actually manipulate and move energies around, just the way you can go in the kitchen and can make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. That's very real. But because you're unawakened, you don't know that that in itself was already planned. That is already your karma. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, I better stop because I have many more questions. But
I have one more. There's only one more caller, so if it's a short one, we can answer one more question.
No, it's okay. So you said in the laws and principles that my body and the world around me is my unconscious. So basically, I felt stuck on understanding this one. So basically, it's what we are talking about that. No, so I ask you, so can you explain that to me, please?
That the world around you is your unconscious? Yeah, because because the world, when you are using the mind, everything is polarized, right?
Yes.
Everything is polarized. It's good or bad, dark and light, men and women, death and life. So there is conscious and unconscious. And so when you are identified in the mind, you see the world through the mind, through the identity, then you see two things. You see yourself being the person and then the rest out there. The rest out there is your unconscious. It's that which you have, because you see yourself as like, oh, that's me. This is this person. I know what I wear. I know what I eat. This is my life. And then there's all this other out there, which is actually you too, but you have made it unconscious. You have said, you've rejected it as the other half of your existence. You said, that's not me, that's the other. And the other is unconscious to you. You are not experiencing yourself as the other. That is why it is unconscious to you. Does this make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, this so is clear? I want you to be really clear.
It's part of the game.
Yes, it's part of the game, exactly. Yes, and yeah, it's all part of the game. Even the waking up is part of the game.
That's right.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Love you too. Bye. Good question. So we have Wilma. Hi, Wilma.
Hello, and I want to thank you for the call and everyone's questions, because everyone contributed to my answer.
Right. You're the last one, so you got everything answered.
Oh, my. Because the issue I started was that I felt like I was living in a stupor, and that my ego was taking, and just, let me find the word, in total despair and sorrow, wondering why I'm here. Because it just didn't feel real to me in this place, and ego kept coming up. And yet I don't live in ego, but it kept coming up and just like kept asking the question, why am I here? Everyone answered it. I recognize, and I tell you this, that I'm living in nothingness and I'm making this all real, and nothing is real.
Yes,
and I just have to go into the nothingness
That's
and own
right.
it.
Yes, you own it. Yes, you own it. You make it too complicated. You're still thinking, you know, that you have to, you know, make a story with everything. Your experiences, let them just move through you and remain the nothingness. That's simple. And just be still, be quiet. Don't move yourself as consciousness and just let life happen and enjoy it or don't enjoy it, you know, because life brings both, but just remain free.
You know, all the people I'm meeting around me are on a lower vibration, and I'm getting pulled into their vibration.
Wait. If you're nothingness, how can you be pulled into
that's
that?
That's what I mean. Yes, that's what I'm recognizing. So now I'm going to make live in the dream, and enjoy every person as someone like me, special.
Yeah, that's a concept, though, Vilma. You see, this
okay.
is like you're having a recipe that's all mind.
Okay.
There's no other. There's no next moment. There's just here, right? There's just right now, you as consciousness, that's all there is. And consciousness does reflect itself through the mind, and you see forms and people and experiences, but don't mess with it.
So am I... The bit of confusion. I understand the whole concept, and I know this is complete truth.
Mm.
So that when I'm out with people, just enjoy the moments.
You can enjoy or not enjoy the moment. Doesn't matter.
Enjoy or not enjoy, but and just live through. That's the part I'm going to work through the shadow.
Okay, too complicated. You know,
okay.
We said, yeah, let's make it even simpler. You're either suffering or you're not suffering. This is something you can feel, right?
Right.
Right. So when you're suffering, you notice that, and then you remain still, pull yourself out of the mind. Everything is mind. Form,
mm-hmm.
emotions, thoughts, sensations, all mind. So you basically, when you're still as conscious and you don't move, you don't have a desire, you don't want to control it, and you're just here, then the suffering goes away. So there's nothing, there's no recipe, you see, because life is always, every instant, life is new. Everything in the past, Papaji would say, mind is graveyard. Yeah, because everything, every form was made yesterday. Your body is from yesterday because all the food you ate, all your thoughts, emotions, all from yesterday, all reactions from yesterday. Everything you can perceive is yesterday. It's nothing is new. But life is ever fresh and new, like a river that always moves and it's never the same. So you cannot approach life with any concept. You in that moment when you have a concept or a strategy, you are living already. You're already caught. You're not free. So you have to be naked. You have to be here, and you have to be raw. It's like living without a net. And right now in this moment, you can be this already right here and right now, which you are. Just notice right now if your mind is doing something with what I say, or if it can just exist here and it's just okay. What is happening?
It's just existing. It's there.
Good. Okay. So there's right now freedom.
The heart is here, fully open, and the mind is like out there.
Okay. So you can be here, and there's no suffering right now.
Right.
Good. And if there is suffering, you have a simple tool like the squares and the triangles. And of course, your regular meditations will essentially deepen your ability to be here. And that's the simplicity of it. Don't make anything more complicated. The mind will always trick you with another tool or another way or something. Keep it as raw and simple as possible. Be in your core or not. That's it. And know that you're always free. And there are different ways, you know, when your mind is going really crazy, because there's times like when the astrology and your karmas are really, sometimes there's a lot of movement, right? Like, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
the ocean is very wavy and it's like stormy, you know, or you have a maelstrom, you know, like the hurricane, everything's moving and moving and moving and you're in it. It's really hard to suddenly realize, okay, oh my God, I'm in it. And you forget everything. then I would say just do the tantric approach of just letting it all happen, just be all this crazy thing and stop judging and just experience it and just know that it passes and that you, who you are, was never affected because you were never born, you never die. You're not this body, you're not a thought, you're not an emotion, you're not a feeling.
Only an observer.
You are only the perceiver, the observer, yes. Mm-hmm.
So basically it's always to live in emptiness.
Yes, that's right. You always live in emptiness. You always live in emptiness, and even after you're enlightened, you will continue to pay attention, because as long as the body is there and as long as you engage with the world, it's sticky. You can always get, it's like you're living in a jungle. There's always a wild tiger somewhere. You have to pay attention. You're always paying attention to not get caught. That remains. So it's just that you become incredibly masterful at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you gave wonderful tools for doing that. And when
yes.
I do the breathing, I find my whole spine straightens up.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing. So what is happening that I'm having a lot of all of a sudden deja vu?
Well, I think somebody else had that, is that, you know, so your mind is, we talked about, it's like a movie, right? It's like a program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the Matrix. Things just get kind of, there's glitches that happen. And I've had them. I remember one of the glitches I had that were kind of really strange is always that it was at night driving home from a dinner. And I came to a traffic light and it went green, yellow, red. So I stopped and then it did it again, green, yellow, red. I had the entire scene start to repeat itself. And so I just like, wow, that's crazy. And I saw that it's who you are. You see, people who are insane with asylums, their mind isn't as rigid, you know. They open up and there's a lot of glitches there.
Right.
So, you know, so that can happen to us too, that there's a little bit of glitches. You won't go crazy, but there's some kind of signs that the mind is shifting and rearranging, so it becomes... how you as consciousness move into the mind and use the mind. That is what's changing. The mind itself isn't changing. There's only one mind. There's only one mind. We all just go in there and you occupy a certain area and say, that's me. So you are as consciousness basically just going into the mind and rearranging certain things and then that happens. So it doesn't, don't give it any other meaning, because everything else is more illusion.
No, I only know is I was talking to someone and I was telling them about what they told me, and they said they never told me that.
Oh.
Or I listened to the news and I said I heard that a year ago.
Yeah.
And why are they repeating it today?
Yeah, I know. So I mean, we can laugh at it and just have a moment of like, wow, that's
funny.
Weird. Yeah, it's like weird. I know. In fact, I was it was this year, I think I was in a session, it was about 7 months ago, and suddenly I, like past, present, future, and I was with the person on the phone, and I've heard this, it seemed like I knew the same person, the same story was repeating itself, like I went through several timelines constantly. It was like really strange. I don't remember all the details, but I thought, okay, this is all very weird. Then it went on for 5 minutes.
Well, also a period of time. I can see through the timelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that I got used to, so I ignore it. It's something I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you can make a cup of coffee. Some people can go through timelines. It's all skill. It's all like the way you learned how to tie your shoelaces. I want to make sure that we don't. You see, there's a lot of unenlightened people walking around that do a lot of stuff that they call spiritual stuff. But this is just other skills. They're more sophisticated skills. They have nothing to do with waking up out of the illusion of this existence. So whatever psychic abilities you will open up for you, I think Shelley now, you know, had lost. She's very psychic and stuff is happening with her. You know, for some people at the end of the course, you will have great psychic, you know, skills, because that's also what we're, you know, what's happening. But you know, most importantly is, you know, to not get caught in it and to just be, remain conscious and just enjoy things that you can do, you know. I mean, I can paint and I can draw, you know, you can jump timelines or, you know, I can do that too, but, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I don't even think about it because when it first started, I was in awe of it, but now it's just something that's there.
Yeah.
Like my finger is there. And so I don't get... But another thing that came up for me, I realized I used to be, when I was younger, a wonderful manifester. And now it appears that I'm not manifesting because I've noticed I never ask for anything for myself. And everything I do is about asking for healing of the earth and for other people. Is there a way that I can shift that in...
Okay, so we're shifted now into a different conversation, right? So there's
right.
You can sense that. I just want you to know that. Okay, yes, so we're not.
Absolutely.
We're now in the psychic realm, and about what you how you can enact, you know, on, upon the energies of things. Yes, of course you can. Basically, you make a choice. Especially, you see, when you're in your core and you're in freedom, then you, where your attention goes is very strong, right? It's very powerful.
Right.
So where you dwell then is what becomes very magnified because you're carrying more light. So so in that way, you can then dwell on whatever you'd like to manifest and you dwell on that once in a while as you are illuminating it, bringing energy to it. And that has a lot to do with being really in your core, like especially in the power center and in the heart as well. So you have the alignment. So this is manifesting stuff, the alignment of the mind, of being clear of what it is. Your heart is uplifted. You don't have negative emotions. You're happy, you're luminous, and you're very grounded. Your power center, there's a lot of energy, you have lots of vitality. So you're really in your core, and then you shift your attention and dwell on it for a few minutes during the end of your meditation on something you need to manifest in your life. You just dwell on it for a little bit. You just, you know, a few minutes, because when you're really in your core, it needs split seconds, you know.
Mhm.
Yeah. Okay. So yes. you can do that. And of course, you know, there's always the physical following up, like writing it down, all this, because it's just a way for you to focus your energy to control your power. We're going to learn the power stuff in the following modules, but we want to first really clear as much ego as possible, be really able to concentrate, you know, because the concentration is important too. You concentrate on this thing you want to manifest, and then for the rest of the day you concentrate on your misery and your empty bank account. Well, then it was all, you know, for a waste of energy, right?
No, I don't do that.
Yeah. I'm speaking in general for everybody else who's listening, just general knowledge, yeah. Yeah, so.
But as you're speaking, I'm feeling tremendous energy just above the base of the spine.
Yeah, because of my Shakti, right? Yeah, so it's, we're talking, because I spoke about power, and when I speak about power, you know, you will resonate with it, right? So we can increase it. Is that okay?
I would love you to increase it.
It brings up also, you know, deep cleanses from the unconscious, right? So because it's linked down there, right? You know, so so we'll just leave it. We'll see how much more comes through by the end of the when we do the end of the meditation here today. So okay, so did we touch
you
on everything?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, Wilma, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, bye. Okay, so let's go into a finishing up meditation tonight, today, not tonight. And we're already here in the place of satsang, just being with what is, being present, being free. And because this is a psychic module, really module number two, we're just going to have our attention mainly on the heart center, or wherever it is naturally for you right now, in your being, in the luminosity of your heart, the beauty, the love, being connected with the higher astral levels, the realms of the heavens, the masters, the bodhisattvas, the great beings to infuse you with their frequencies, the light, to continue to purify your spirit. And I'm going to chant, in Italian, the Ave Maria, which is a prayer that's very, very protective. I'll just do this 3-4 times. So that you're safe on your journeys, which means is having so much more support to be in a positive state of mind, frame of mind, to live in the luminous levels, knowing that these are real dimensions, in the dream of God, and it matters where we put our attentions. Ave Maria, piena di grazie, il Signore con te. Benedetta tu sei tra le donne, benedetto frutto del tuo ventre, Gesù. Santa Maria, Madre di Dio, prega per noi, adesso e nell'ora della nostra morte. Amen. Ave Maria, piena di grazie, il Signore con te. Benedetta tu sei tra le donne, benedetto frutto del tuo ventre, Gesù. Santa Maria, Madre di Dio, prega per noi, adesso e nell'ora della nostra morte. Amen. Ave Maria, piena di grazie, il Signore è con te. Benedetta tu sei tra le donne, benedetto frutto del tuo ventre, Gesù. Santa Maria, Madre di Dio, prega per noi, adesso e nell'ora della nostra morte. Amen. Ave Maria, piena di grazie, il Signore è con te. Benedetta tu sei tra le donne, benedetto frutto del tuo ventre, Gesù. Santa Maria, Madre di Dio, prega per noi. Adesso nell'ora della nostra morte. Amen. The psychic world is the realm of the Divine Mother, and the Divine Mother's purity is the pure, pure light. And the light manifests pure, beautiful forms, beautiful perfection. The symbolism is, in this case, in this prayer, is the name Jesus. At the same time, it is the form of utter perfection that everyone is. When we are being that, we are the purity of the light in all the different frequencies, shapes, and forms. There exists nothing other if we do not create time and space, if we do not create separation through the functions of the mind. So we're allowing ourselves to just remember and realize again the perfection that we are. So feel free to keep sitting and going deeper into the meditation. Thank you for being here today, and I'll maybe see you later again. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you. God bless.
The moderator has left the conference.